إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهدل الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فإن خير الكلام كلام الله عز وجل وخير الحديث هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدع وكل بدعة دلالة وكل دلالة في النار وبعد الحمد لله Alhamdulillah, all praise belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We praise Him, we seek His aid, and we seek His forgiveness. We seek refuge in Allah from the evil of our own selves and the evil of our own actions. Whomsoever Allah guides, there is none to mislead him. Whoever is misled, none can guide him, except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I testify that there is none worthy of worship except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is the creator, the controller, the master, the king of all that exists. And I testify that Muhammad is his slave and his messenger. After that, we welcome the dear brothers and sisters to another lesson on the 18th of Rajab. Sorry, the 14th of Rajab. The 14th of Rajab in the year 1442, corresponding to the 27th of February 2021. We're still continuing with looking at the benefits from the conditions of La ilaha illallah. This whole topic of La ilaha illallah is such a vast topic. We're trying to limit ourselves to just the conditions of La ilaha illallah, but along with that, it's taking so long because of the amazing amount of benefits from this, just this one small statement of La ilaha illallah, which is so weighty, it outweighs all a person's bad deeds that a person does, as long as he believes in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and he dies upon the tawheed of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And seeking knowledge requires patience. Seeking knowledge requires a lot of patience. It's not something that can be done overnight. There's no one tablet or pill that can give you all of knowledge. And like the great scholar Imam Dhahabi rahimullah, he said, knowledge is an ocean, a vast ocean, which has no boundary, has no shore, has no beach. It's so vast. And that's why we have to have patience in learning the knowledge, the foundational, the basic knowledge which a Muslim needs. So alhamdulillah, we're still continuing in the first condition and looking at the evidences. And we began last week in our last lesson, and unfortunately due to technical reasons, it was not fully broadcasted. So we're going to go back to one part of that, which is very, very important. And we'll look at the benefits from that. And that is going back to the ayah, فَأَلَمْ أَنَّهُ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ. Know that there is none deserving or worthy of worship except Allah. And the rest of the ayah, وَاسْتَغْفِرْ لِذَنْبِكَ وَلِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ وَالْمُؤْمِنَاتِ. So we want to look at that section of seeking forgiveness for the believers, the men and women. So the first thing we want to look at, and we apologize if some of you heard this last week and some of you didn't hear this, but a recap is good because a reminder benefits the believers. So we're looking at this part of the ayah, seeking forgiveness. So knowing that Allah is the one who forgives, that's the first point we're looking at. That knowing that Allah, knowing that Allah is the one who forgives. So from Ibn Abbas in radiyallahu anhu, who said that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that Allah azza wa jal said. So it's a hadith qudsi, yani a statement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as was conveyed by the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And Allah said, man alima anni dhu qudratin, whoever knows that I have the capability, I have the ability, ala maghfirat adh-dhunub, that I can forgive sins, ghaffartu lahu, then I will forgive that person, wala ubali, and I do not care, ma lam yushrik bi shay'an, as long as it did not associate anything with me. So whoever knows that I have the capability to forgive sins, then I will forgive him and not worry and not care, as long as he did not commit shirk with me. And this is a hadith collected by Tabarani and Al-Albani. Sheikh Al-Albani declared it to be hasan. So it shows us knowing that who is the one that forgives. Only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can forgive sins. Our religion is not like the Catholics, where a person goes and makes repentance to a person, an individual, and asks him for this repentance as an intermediary, as somebody go-between. La, for the Muslim, direct to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The second thing we want to look at is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to seek forgiveness 100 times a day. From Al-Aghra radiallahu anhu, who said, I heard the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam saying, Ya ayyuhan nas, O you people, tubu ila Allah, repent to Allah, wastaghfiruhu, and seek His forgiveness. Since indeed, فَإِنِّي أَتُوبُ إِلَى اللَّهِ وَاسْتَغْفِرُهُ, indeed I repent to Allah and I seek His forgiveness, فِي كُلِّ يَوْمٍ, every day, فِي كُلِّ يَوْمٍ 100 times a day, 100 times a day I seek forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So here a person says, astaghfirullah, 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 and he can say this 100 times a day. This is how much the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to say it. Some narrations mention 70, some mention, this narration mentions 100. This has been collected by Imam Ahmad, and Sheikh Al-Albani declared to have a sahih isnad. And this is something from the characteristics of a Muslim. The characteristics of a Muslim that he seeks forgiveness constantly during the day, saying astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah, taking repentance, and we know the conditions for that. And this is something that we need to do as remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala a lot. When we feel our hearts are despondent, and when we feel our hearts are sad, when we feel our hearts becoming depressed, and in feeling upset, and we don't know why, we start remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala a lot, and it clears it up. Our Shaykh Rabi ibn Hadi al-Madkhali, hafidhullah, he quoted the hadith, and he commented, he quoted the hadith of the Messenger, where the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, Man qala subhanallahi wa bihamdihi, whoever said subhanallahi wa bihamdihi, yani far is Allah from imperfection, and all praises is for him, fi yawmin 100 marra, 100 times in a day, huttat khatayahu, then his mistakes and sins are cancelled out. وَإِنْ كَانَتْ مِثْلَ الزَّبَدِ الْبَحَرِ, even if they were like the foam on the ocean. When we look at the sea and we see the waves splashing in onto the shore, onto the beach, onto the rocks, you see this foam. You see the foam of the sea, the water. Even if our mistakes and sins were equivalent to that, but we return to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we said subhanallahi wa bihamdihi, yani far is Allah from imperfection, yani Allah is perfect, and all praises for him, hamdihi, alhamd, then Allah cancels out our sins, even if they're like the foam on the ocean. Bilkathra, yani here the example is that, the similitude is that is a lot. This is collected by Imam Bukhari and by Imam Muslim. The Shaykh said, commenting on this, he said, look at this, O believers. Look at this, O believers. You can easily say this whilst you are walking, riding, or even falling asleep. 100 times in one day, and Allah will take away all your mistakes. Allah is the greatest. This is an excellence from Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. So increase in making dhikr of Allah. O youth, increase in sending salat upon the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, since in doing so there is a lot of goodness. The Shaykh continued, he said, obey Allah and His Messenger in all your matters. Dear brothers, do not forget that this forgiveness and cancellation of sins is only for lesser sins. So it is necessary to keep away, far away from the major sins. الَّذِينَ يَجْتَنِبُونَ الْكَبَائِرِ كَبَائِرَ الْإِثْمِ وَالْفَوَاحِشِ وَالْفَوَاحِشِ الَّذِينَ يَجْتَنِبُونَ الْكَبَائِرَ الْإِثْمِ وَالْفَوَاحِشِ. Those who avoid great sins and fawahish, those who keep away from the evil sins, It is necessary to avoid the major sins. And they are not forgiven except with sincere repentance. Therefore, we remember Allah a lot. And He said we keep far away from the major sins. So much so that when we remember Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala with the likes of these adhkar, which are mentioned, then our bad deeds fall off us. And our status is raised with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So as you see, from the statements of our scholars, they don't sit around just talking about this, that and the other, or just talking like some people say that all you people do of the sunnah is refuting and speak bad against people. You religious people, you have nothing else but to, you know, to attack people and say things. No, this is not the case. As you can see from our scholars, they advise the people with repentance. They advise the people with remembrance of Allah. And this is the virtue of sitting with scholars. There are so many excellences from sitting with scholars and meeting people with knowledge. And we're talking about real people with knowledge. We're not talking about people who have certain agendas, political agenda. Or they have a biasness to their groups and parties. This is from my masjid, and this is from my madhab, and this is... No, we're talking about scholars who are clearly on the truth of the kitab, or the sunnah, and the manhaj as-salaf as-salih. The kitab and the sunnah, the book and the sunnah, and the people of the righteous predecessors, the pious predecessors, the first three generations of the Muslims, and the scholars that follow them on the correct path. That's who we're talking about. So sitting with the scholars is that they will remind you of Allah. The scholars will remind you of Allah with the remembrance of Allah. And that's why you should sit. For the Muslim is being encouraged. You'll find this from many, many statements of the Salaf, that they used to say, sit with your righteous, because they will remind you of Allah. But what happens for most of us is that religion is seen as something cultural. Really, at the end of the day, Muslims, a lot of us, we see religion as a cultural thing. My parents, they pray. My parents, they do Ramadan. My parents want to go on Hajj. They do some rituals at home, but it's cultural. It's cultural. This is how a lot of us have been brought up, that Islam is a cultural aspect, not a religious duty upon every single Muslim. We are forgotten to be taught that Islam is a religion for all times and all places and for every individual. So we need to rethink and reprogram ourselves of what the deen is, what the religion is, and how to understand it and implement it and practice it. Okay? The next thing we're looking at is seeking forgiveness for parents. Because this is the one matter that we find that benefits us once we have left this dunya, that we have children who pray for us. Children who pray for us. We find this being the characteristic of the prophets. We find this being the characteristics of the prophets as well, of seeking forgiveness for people and for their parents. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, in mentioning the dua of Nuh alayhi salam, the great prophet of Allah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Nuh, Rabbighfirli, yani Nuh alayhi salam is saying, oh my Lord, forgive me, Rabbighfirli, waliwalidayya, and my parents, waliman dakhala bayti, and him who enters my house, mu'minan, walil mu'minina wal mu'minat, who enters my home as a believer, and all the believing men and women. So this is the dua that Nuh alayhi salam said for his parents. Imagine that when we pass away from this earth, and we know that our actions are cut off, as we know that our actions are cut off from the dunya, because when we die, cannot continue doing good actions. We cannot continue doing good actions, but if we, the Prophet ﷺ said that when a person dies, his actions are cut off, except for three: continuous charity, knowledge where people will benefit from, and a righteous offspring that will make dua for you. Righteous children who will make dua for you. Okay, so this is what we know, that this is something which is good, and that's why we deal with our children in a good way, and we educate them on these matters so that we can benefit from them in the hereafter. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَقُلْ رَبِّ إِرْحَمْهُمَا. Yeah, this is a person saying, and say, oh my Lord, إِرْحَمْهُمَا. And he have mercy, bestow mercy, mercy on them, have mercy upon them, كَمَا رَبِّيَانِي الصَّغِيرَ, as they did bring me up when I was small. Okay, they brought me up when I was small, they had mercy on me, so have mercy on my parents. And this is what a Muslim should do for his parents. And that's why we educate them on the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ, on the sunnah, the practice of the Prophet ﷺ. As we know that every good action that his parents benefit from that. His parents benefit from every good action that the offspring do. Every good action that the offspring do, okay, they perform good deeds and these type of matters, the parents also get a reward for that. Likewise, from the hadith of Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, who said that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Inna rajala la tarfa' darajatahu fil jannah." Indeed, Allah raises the grade of a righteous slave of His in paradise. Fayaqul, so he says, so much so that he says, "Anna li hadha." Where is this from, O my Lord? From where is all this for me? For yuqal, then it will be said, bi istighfar waladak lak, by your son seeking forgiveness for you. By your son, forgiveness for you. And a person will be raised up in paradise, higher and higher, better grades of paradise. And he's saying, well, where is all this from? I didn't do this. But Allah said, because your son made dua for you. And the son here meaning the daughter as well, offspring, maybe even for the grandparents as well, making dua for them. And this is a hadith which has been collected by Ibn Majah, Imam Ahmad, and other narrators as well, other collectors of books as well. And Shaykh al-Albani declared its isnad to be Hasan Sahih. Hassan. Then Abul Hassan al-Sindi, rahimullah, one of the great scholars, said in an explanation of Sunan ibn Majah, he said, therefore, it is necessary for the son to seek forgiveness for his parents. Necessary for the son to seek forgiveness for his parents. And it shows us the importance of this as well, that, you know, we are good in our dealings with our children. We do not just leave them off, and we just not leave, do not leave them just to secular education. Yes, that is important. Secular education, science, maths, medicine, whatever. These are all very, very important. But the most important thing for us in the hereafter, it's not that my son becomes a doctor, not that my son becomes a, my daughter becomes a dentist, not that it becomes an engineer. The best thing, the most important thing, is that the son is righteous, that the child is righteous, that he does good deeds, he worships Allah, he worships his Lord, and he does good deeds, because that's what will make benefit us after we've gone off this earth. Yes, we push them, we help them, we try to get them to become successful in this dunya, however that is, you know, termed or understood. We help them, push them, encourage them, yes. But likewise, we pay importance to their education of Islam, their Sharia education. Our Shaykh Saleh Fawzan was asked, my mother seeks forgiveness and makes tasbih, and he's saying subhanallah, 100 times a day for her parents daily. What is the ruling of seeking forgiveness for parents after they've passed away? Yeah? What is the ruling of seeking forgiveness? Saying astaghfirullah, astaghfir ya Rabbi, astaghfir waliday, Allahumma, astaghfir wa ummi wa abi. And you can say it in any language that you know. Any language that you know, you're seeking forgiveness for your parents after they've passed away. The Shaykh answered, this is a good thing. This is a good thing. Seeking forgiveness for parents and the Muslims. A person seeks forgiveness for himself, his parents and the Muslims. And this is a matter which is legislated in the Sharia. رَبَّغْفِرْلِي وَلِوَالِدَيَّ وَلِمَنْ دَخَلَ بَيْتِ مُؤْمِنًا. My Lord, forgive me and my parents and him who enters my home as a believer. Like Nuh alayhi salam said. And then the Shaykh says, وَاسْتَغْفِرْ لِذَنْبِكْ وَلِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ وَالْمُؤْمِنَاتِ. Seek forgiveness for your sins and the believing men and women. The Shaykh said, like Allah said to our Prophet wasallam, seeking forgiveness for, as in this ayah. Then the Shaykh said, seeking forgiveness for a person, his parents, his relatives, and his Muslim brothers, the living and the dead, is a matter which is needed. And a person should do this a lot. He should do this a lot. Because we know that when we seek forgiveness for somebody, the angels say, and for you too. The angels supplicate for us as well. They make dua for us as well. So imagine if you said, oh Allah, forgive my parents. Oh Allah, forgive my relatives, my brothers and sisters, the Muslims. Yeah. Imagine the angels are saying it for you as well. And this is a characteristic of the prophets. Then we have seeking forgiveness for the believers. Seeking forgiveness for the believers. From Ubad ibn Samit radiallahu anhu, who said, I heard the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying, Man astaghfara lil mu'mineen. This is a hadith. Listen to it very carefully. Man astaghfara lil mu'mineen wa lil mu'minat. Whoever sought forgiveness for whoever sought forgiveness for believing men and believing women. Yeah? مَنَ اسْتَغْفَرَ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ وَلِلْمُؤْمِنَاتِ. Whoever sought forgiveness for believing men and believing women. كَتَبَ اللَّهُ لَهُ بِكُلِّ مُؤْمِنٍ وَمُؤْمِنَ حَسَنًا. Allah writes a good deed for him, for every believing man and woman. For every believing man and woman. And how many millions and maybe billions of Muslims have passed away? And how many millions of Muslims there are today? And we hope a lot of them are believers. مَنَ اسْتَغْفَرَ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ وَالْمُؤْمِنَاتِ Whoever sought forgiveness for believing men and believing women. كَتَبَ اللَّهُ لَهُ بِكُلِّ مُؤْمِنٍ وَمُؤْمِنَةٍ حَسَنًا Allah writes a good deed for him for every believing man and woman that he sought forgiveness for. And this is a hadith collected by Tabarani, and then Shaykh al-Albani declared it to be Hasan in Sahih al-Jami'. So easy for us to earn billions of hasanat, rewards, billions, by saying, Allahumma gfir la muslimina wal muslimat. Allahumma gfir, oh Allah forgive, muslimina wal muslimat. Wal mu'minina wal mu'minat, from the believing men and believing women. Al ahya minhum, those who are alive from them. واستغفر للمؤمنين والمؤمنات الأحياء منهم والأموات and those who have passed away, those who have passed away. So look, imagine the amount of billions of rewards that a Muslim is getting by just saying this one thing of seeking forgiveness for the Muslims, for the Muslims. So this is something which is encouraged. This is something which is encouraged, and you find those people on the Sunnah, because they know about these type of hadith. They understand and read and find out about these type of hadith. You find that that's what their practice and their habit is. Seeking forgiveness for the believing man and believing woman. So that's that part of the verse which is used as a proof for the first condition of La ilaha illallah. Having knowledge of something before you carry it out. Before you do the deed, before you do that action in the religion, you have knowledge of it. The next point is that knowing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's knowledge, it comprehends the actions of a slave of Allah. Allah's knowledge knows, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows about our actions. He knows about our actions. So from this we find that Allah knows about our actions. Now we come on to the second evidence. The second evidence for this first point about having knowledge before you do something. Okay, because remember there are seven conditions which have been mentioned. And the first one is knowledge, and we're still continuing with that, subhanAllah. So the second evidence is, the scholars use, إِلَّا مَنْ شَهِدَ بِالْحَقِّ وَهُمْ يَعْلَمُونَ Except those who bear witness to the truth. In Surah Zukhruf, Ayah 86. إِلَّا مَنْ شَهِدَ بِالْحَقِّ وَهُمْ يَعْلَمُونَ Except those who bear witness to the truth. And the complete ayah, this whole thing of those who bear witness to the truth, meaning the truthness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they bear witness to it, they testify to it. Okay, the whole context of this ayah, because it's just a part of the ayah, the whole ayah is وَلَا يَمْلِكُ لِلَّذِينَ وَلَا يَمْلِكُ الَّذِينَ يَدْعُونَ مِن دُونِهِ ولا يملك الذين يدعون من دونه الشفاعة إلا من شهد بالحق وهم يعلمون And those who they invoke instead of Allah have no power of intercession. Those matters and idols and statues that you call upon other than Allah, and you ask for intercession, they have no intercession. They can't intercede. They can't come in between. Illa man shahida bil haqq wa hum ya'lamun. Except those who bear witness to the truth, i.e., they know about the and obey Allah, and they know about the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Ibn Kathir rahimahullah says, it means those who testify to the truth upon knowledge, upon insight, upon knowledge. This benefits them, meaning this La ilaha illallah. إلا من شاهد بالحق أي يعني testify to the truth الحق لا إله إلا الله. And Imam Sa'di said this is something which a person acknowledges with pronounces it with his tongue and acknowledges it with his heart, and he has knowledge of what he testifies to it, and this is conditional, that is justification with the truth, and that is testifying that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is one, his wahdaniyya, yani he's alone, he's one, and his has his message and he and for his messengers with prophethood and sending the message, and the authenticity of what has come in the foundation of knowledge, the foundation of his religion and its branches and its realities and its legislation. So that's the second evidence. Illa man shahida bil haq, except for those who testify with the truth, meaning la ilaha illallah. The third evidence is the in the Sahih of Imam Muslim, on the authority of Uthman radhiyallahu anhu, who said the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Man mata wa huwa ya'lam annahu la ilaha illallah dakhala jannah." Whoever dies knowing la ilaha illallah, meaning having knowledge of la ilaha illallah, knowing what constitutes, knowing what cancels it out, invalidates it, knowing what it stands for, okay, then this person enters paradise. And Imam Nawawi rahimullah brought a chapter heading to that effect in Kitab al-Iman, that whoever the chapter, the proof that the one who dies upon Tawheed enters paradise, or definitely will enter paradise. The Sheikh Ubaid hafizullah, he explains that this meaning of what, and this hadith of what Imam Nawawi brings, okay, there are many hadith like that, for example, another hadith from Ubadah ibn Samit radhiyallahu anhu, who said the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Man shahida an la ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika lahu," whoever testifies, testified, the witnesses, that there is none worthy of worship except Allah, he has no partners whatsoever, and that Muhammad abduhu wa rasuluhu, and that Muhammad is a slave and his messenger, wa anna Isa abdullah wa rasuluhu, and that Isa alayhi salam, the prophet, Jesus, the prophet, is the slave of Allah and his messenger, wa kalimatuhu alqaha ila Maryam, and he is the word that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, kalima, that he cast to Maryam, wa ruhun minhu, and a spirit from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, wa jannat al-haq, and that paradise is real, is true, wa nar al-haq, and he testifies that the hellfire is true, adkhalahu Allahu al-jannah, adkhalahu Allahu al-jannata, Allah enters him into paradise with what? Ala ma kana min al-amal, with that which of actions that he had, and that Allah will admit him into paradise with what he has from or of actions. And this hadith from Sahih al-Bukhari. And this hadith supports this other hadith of that we have, supports that hadith of having knowledge about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then the Shaykh brings another hadith which is narrated by Imam Muslim from Jabir radiallahu anhu, that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Man laqiya Allah la yushrik bihi shay'an dakhala al-jannah," whoever meets Allah not having associated anything with him, dakhala al-jannah, enters into paradise. وَمَنْ لَقِيَهُ يُشْرِكْ بِهِ شَيْئًا دَخَلَ النَّارِ, and whoever meets Allah having associated anything with Allah enters hellfire. So the Shaykh goes on to say that from this hadith, the following, these different types of hadith, the following benefits are taken, that which is the promise of entrance into paradise for the one who dies upon Tawheed. And this is a promise from Allah. And Allah never breaks his promise. The second, that the one who commits a major sin, then his, the title of Iman is not taken away from him. Because in this hadith, the evidence is there. Because this is a, there's a testification for the people of Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah, the people of Sunnah and Jama'ah, that the that a fasiq, an evildoer, a very sinful person, still has iman. And he is a fasiq due to his committing a sin. Due to his committing a sin. And what explains this is a hadith which is narrated from Bukhari, okay, collected by Imam Bukhari from Anas radhiyallahu anhu. Where the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, whoever prays our prayer, Man salla salatina, whoever prays, our prayer, and faces our Qibla, and faces towards Makkah, and he eats our slaughter, then that person is a Muslim, who has the protection of Allah. And the protection of the Messenger of Allah. So do not leave off the protection of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay? So this hadith is showing that the person can still be a Muslim. That brings us to the end of the first part, the first condition. The first condition of La ilaha illallah, meaning of having knowledge. The second condition, we're going to start that today inshallah now, is the second condition is certainty. Certainty. Being certain of Iman and being certain with La ilaha illallah. Having certainty in that. That's the second condition. The first one is knowledge. Second one, al-yaqeen. Certainty. Yaqeen. And that is, the Shaykh mentioned, that that is kamal al-ilm, having perfect knowledge. And it is that which negates, or the opposite of that, is doubt and uncertainty. Uncertainty. Having doubt and uncertainty. So the second condition is al-yaqeen. And the evidence for this is from the ayah, which is mentioned in the Qur'an, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّمَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا بِاللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ ثُمَّ لَمْ يَرْتَابُوا وَجَاهَدُوا بِأَمْوَالِهِمْ وَأَنفُسِهِمْ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ أُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الصَّادِقُونَ. This is in Surah Hujurat, Ayah 15. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, indeed, the believers are those who believe in Allah and His Messenger. And then they have no doubt. ثُمَّ لَمْ يَرْتَابُوا يعني mean they have yaqeen, certainty in La ilaha illallah. They have certainty in the iman with Allah. They have certainty in iman with the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. وَجَاهَدُوا بِأَمْوَالِهِمْ and they strive with their wealth, وَأَنفُسِهِمْ with their own selves, فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ in the path of Allah. أُولَٰئِكُمُ الصَّادِقُونَ. They are the trustworthy. They are the truthful ones. They are the truthful ones. Okay? And they are the truthful ones. So the scholars mentioned, so certainty was a condition for them having truthfulness in their iman. This ayah mentions, ثُمَّ لَمْ يَرْتَابُوا they have iman. Okay? They have iman in Allah. And then they have no uncertainty and have no doubt. So certainty was a condition for them having truthfulness in their iman in Allah, in their iman in Allah and His Messenger, and also that they did not have uncertainty or doubt. They didn't have any doubt. As for uncertainty, then that comes from the munafiqeen, hypocrites. Uncertainty, then that comes from the munafiqeen. Yeah, those who are hypocrites. Because they don't have surety, they don't have certainty in their hearts. And we seek a refuge with Allah from that. We seek refuge with Allah from that. The other evidence for yaqeen is from Imam Muslim, from the hadith of Abu Hurairah, who said that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "I testify that none is worthy of worship. I testify that there is none worthy of worship." It's hadith from Sahih Muslim. "None of worthy of worship in truth except Allah, and that I am the Messenger of Allah. There is no servant of Allah who meets Allah with these two testifications, not doubting in them." Okay, that's the shahid, that's the point. That when a Muslim says La ilaha illallah, he has no doubt in them. Yeah? غَيْرَ شَاكٍ فِيهِمَا That he has no doubt in this La ilaha illallah, except that he enters paradise. So having certainty is a means for entering paradise. When we have certainty of what? Certainty in La ilaha illallah, knowing that it's the truth. Knowing that's in the truth. And in another narration, "There is no servant of Allah who meets Allah with these two testifications, غَيْرَ شَاكٍ فِيهِمَا, no doubting in them, who is prevented from entering paradise." There's no slave like that. He's prevented from entering paradise because he has certainty, yaqeen. He believes it. It's not just hearsay. It's not just he heard somebody say it and he's saying it. It's not just because his parents say it. No, it's not just because, he thinks that this is the thing to say. La. He has yaqeen, certainty that there is none worthy of worship except Allah. Also, another evidence is that in the Sahih of Imam Muslim from Abu Hurairah radhiyallahu anhu, from the long hadith, when the Prophet sent Abu Hurairah with his shoes and said, "Whoever you meet behind this garden that testifies that there is none worthy of worship except Allah with certainty in his heart, then give him the glad tidings of paradise." Give him glad tidings of paradise. So our Shaykh, Shaykh Ubaid, after Allah Ta'ala, he explained this. إِنَّمَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا بِاللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ ثُمَّ لَمْ يَرْثَابُوا, that those indeed are the believers are who believe in Allah and His Messenger and have no doubt or have no uncertainty. He said that the people of Iman, true Iman, who are clear and inwardly and outwardly, are those who have Iman, true Iman, openly and outwardly, are those who believe in Allah and His Messenger, in their statements, in their actions, and their belief, without having any doubt, غير شاكين, without any doubts, any uncertainty, في ذلك, in that, ولا مرتاب, يعني they don't have confusion, or يعني they don't have indecisive of La ilaha illallah. وَجَاهَدَ بِعَمَّالِهِ وَنَفْسِهِ, and he strove with his wealth and his self in the path of Allah, and that's why they were called أُولَيْكُمُ الصَّادِقُونَ, for verily they are the truthful ones. They are the truthful ones. And the Shaykh goes on to talk about how that the proof for this show that actions, deeds are a part of Iman, as is mentioned in this ayah. And the Shaykh also brings a proof for this, because there are people who say, see, as long as I believe, I've got a Muslim name, I believe, that's sufficient for me. That's sufficient for me. La. If you believe in La ilaha illallah, you have knowledge of it, you have certainty in it, you practice it, you implement it. And that means praying to worshipping your Lord. Standing up, performing wudu, and praying and worshipping Allah. And the Shaykh says, what also indicates to this from the Sunnah is from what Bukhari and Muslim narrated from Abi Hamza, who said, I used to be someone who translates. And I was sitting with Ibn Abbas amongst the people, and a woman came and started asking about Nabidh al-Jar. Yeah, Nabidh al-Jur is a certain type of drink that may have been alcoholic or not, so she was inquiring about that. So he said that Wafd Abdul Qais came to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So he remembered something and he mentioned something, and he remembered when this group of people, dignitary or a group of people, yani, they came, Wafd Abdul Qais, they came to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Who are you? Which people are you?" They said, "We're from Rabi'a, from the tribe of Rabi'a." Okay, so the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Marhab bil qawm, welcome, O people, or with the dignitaries, without having loss or any regret." Okay, so then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, so Abu Huraira then says, so they this narration is from Abu Hamza said that, Ibn Abbas said that they said, "Ya, O Messenger of Allah, we come to visit you from a very far away place, and between us and that place, and between that area, that district or that area, there are the people from the Kuffar, the disbelievers, from the Mudr tribe, and sometimes we cannot come to you because of the hardships, you know, the difficulties because of that tribe preventing them from coming." Illa fi shahr al haram, except for the certain months. So command us with something. Command us with something that we can inform those people behind, that we left behind, yani our people, so with that we may enter into paradise. That we may enter into paradise. Inform us, teach us something, so we can teach those that we left behind, we can teach them of something which will cause us to enter into paradise. So the Prophet ﷺ said, "I advise you with four matters, and I prohibit you from four matters." He said that, Ibn Abbas said that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam commanding them to have iman in Allah alone. That only have iman in Allah alone. And only believe that Allah is the only Lord and Creator and the deity to be worshipped. And then Ibn Abbas said that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Hal tadruna ma li iman billah?" Do you know that which is having iman with Allah? So they said, "O Messenger of Allah, Allah and His Messenger know best." They said, "Allah and His Messenger know best." So the Prophet ﷺ said, "Shahadatan la ilaha illallah," the testification, the witness to witnessing la ilaha illallah, and that Muhammad is the Messenger of Allah, and establishing the prayer and giving the zakat and fasting Ramadan, and give 5% of your the wealth that you gain, your war gains, give a fifth of that, and then the rest of the hadith continues. And the Shaykh says, the shahid here is the tafsir, the explanation of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that iman is actions of Islam, apparent actions of Islam, because establishing the prayer, giving the zakat, fasting in Ramadan, giving the tax from the war gains. So these are actions which are done. With that, we come to the end of today's lesson. Thank the dear brothers and sisters for listening. May Allah reward the brothers and sisters who broadcast these lessons. جزاكم الله خيرا سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك وصلى الله على نبينا محمد